God's word tells us that we are truly victors in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen on that? Because I'll tell you right now, the world wants us to think we're defeated. All we have to do is look around and see all the craziness that's happening in our world. And they want us to think that we're the ones who are nuts, okay? And I have to laugh because we know the truth. The more prevalent sin and debauchery is made in our lives, the more idiotic our world is getting. The more out of control our world is getting. And we religious people are responsible for all of it. Excuse me? I'm not a religious person. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a difference. And that's what I want us all to remember here today. You see, it's not about religiosity. It's not about coming into church and sitting in a pew and stinking up the world with my opinions. All right? We have enough of that going on out there in society, don't we? We, as Christians, are here to worship God and to live according to His Word. And the Word says that if Christ sets us free, we are what? Free indeed. For the truth shall set you free. And we have experienced that truth. That truth is Jesus Christ. Every time we open this Bible and read these words, we are looking full long into the face of Jesus Christ. And He is the truth. How do I know that? What does John 1:1 say? In the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's say that like the Hebrews say that. In the beginning is the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word is God. Not was, is, today, now, here. If we're going to live in victory, we have to hold that truth in our hearts and in our lives. So today, I want you to realize this is your day. This is the end of our series on living victoriously. And if we don't get this, nothing else that I have taught, nothing else that I have preached since the beginning of this series is going to matter. Because if you're not willing to live in this day, the day I'm about to show you, then there's no hope for you. Oh, by the way, I just saw what hope means. I was driving in today, and I saw what hope means. What does hope mean? What does hope mean? H-O-P-E. Come on. H-O-P-E. Nobody else saw that sign? Well, now you're just going to have to drive out here by the church and figure out what hope means. Yeah, for those of you who didn't come that way, that's terrible. I'm going to give you the last two. P-E. You got to fill in the H and the O. Pain ends. Okay? What's the H and the O? Now I got a whole bunch of people who are going to be driving by a church just to read that sign. Praise God! And our poor people on the internet are going to be like, oh, come on, I'll tell you next week. That'll keep you coming back. Okay? It's right over here. Right over here. Y'all know where I mean. Over here by Lions. Oh, yeah. You'll love it. Hope is such a wonderful thing. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, with me to 2 Corinthians. I'm in chapter 5. I'm going to begin in verse 17. From verse 17, in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. The Word tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Folks, this is your day. How many of us are living, giving power to the old things? How many of us are living a life that we look back and we allow the things that were to overshadow everything that we are right now and where we think we're going? We want it to have no power over us. We want to speak at it and yell at it and scream at it and smack it and kick it and all kinds of other stuff. Do you realize that the very thing that makes you angry controls you? Do you know that? I think it's one of the most amazing concepts of humanity. You and I don't realize how power comes at us. Yeah. I know it's Lexi Joe's first. Yeah. I've got that thingy too, Bobby. I don't wear mine anymore because I don't want to lose it. It's on my desk. It is right in front of me every time I'm writing a sermon. I remember Lexi. And that's the scripture that they chose for Lexi Joe. We need to remember that we are a new creation. We are a new creation. And nothing old has any power over us. Nothing of anything from our past can control us because it is gone. It is what?
Gone.
Gone. There is no power. It holds nothing over us. You and I have to understand this. If we are going to gain the victory, this is our day. This is our day. From this moment forward, I don't care what the past happened. I don't care what happened this morning at 9 o'clock when you got up, or 8 o'clock when you got up, or 7 o'clock when you got up, or 6 o'clock when you got up. Whatever time you got up, it's past. That's history. Where are you going to live now, from this moment forward? Are you going to allow the newness of Jesus Christ and the truth of His Word to set you free? This is your day, right here, right now. How do I know that? Boy, wait till we get to the end of this reading and you will grasp it, because God has a word for each and every one of us, and that word is truly a word of power. But for right now, I want you to understand this from verse 18. It says, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Brothers and sisters, do you realize how powerful that word is that I just spoke? Do you realize how powerful that word is that I just spoke to you? Because I want you to understand something. What does it mean to be reconciled? What does it mean to be reconciled?
New creature.
New creature, okay. New creation, I'll go with that. What does it mean? I'm asking a literal question, asking you out there too. I want to know, what does it mean to be reconciled? For those of you who are out there on the internet, open up another window and Google search reconcile. You can't do that because you're in church. Well, if you have a smartphone, you can do that while you're in church. What does it mean to be reconciled? Miss Brenda. Come together. That's good. It means literally to be brought back. To be brought back. Okay? Okay? It also means to have recompense paid. Okay? It means that we are no longer accused. It means that God has made a way for us to be brought back into right relationship. Okay? Has nothing to do with what we've done, but what someone else has done for us. We have been reconciled to God. Christ Jesus paid a price for each and every one of us, and He has brought us back to a right relationship with God. Now, what does that mean? In the very beginning, Adam and Eve had that relationship. And we read about it and we think, oh, it was wonderful. And then we go about our lives thinking that what we experience as wonderful is what they must have experienced. Wrong. We have experienced nothing but sin in our lives and in our world. We have no idea what it was like when Adam and Eve walked with God. Oh, my heavens. They didn't just walk with God in a metaphorical sense that, you know, oh, isn't this wonderful? God's here and so are we. Because that's the way we live today. We know God's here somewhere. They literally walked with Him. They saw His face and lived. This is your day. You can look full in the face of Jesus Christ and live. And live. live well and live in the abundance of the power of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, one of the most amazing things that you can ever do is truly live in the face of Jesus Christ and walk with him every day the rest of the days of your life. I've been trying to do it. I'm a work in process too, right? No, I'm a work in progress. Process can be static. Please understand that. You know, let's think about our government and processes. You all got that picture real quick, okay? But if we are in progress, that means we're moving forward. Some of us a little bit quicker than others, but we're moving forward. It means forward motion, and that's where we all need to be, is in that forward motion. We need to remember that just because we believe this stuff doesn't mean we're living this stuff. Because if you are not applying it to your life, I can believe the sky is blue. What does it affect me? Absolutely nothing. But if I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God who paid the price for me and has given me the victory over life and death, I can change my life. I can change other people's lives because that's power. There's power in that word. And that's where he has us, because he has reconciled us. He has brought us back to that place of relationship with God. He has given us the hope. Oh man, you got to go over there and read that sign. Because you and I know that in Christ, we know where we are. We know that this place is temporary. This place goes away. But where we are headed lasts forever. Remember, we're aliens traveling through. You know, how many of you had kids? And for those of you who are young, this is going to happen to you. You're traveling and you're headed to a picnic or a party or a park. And 10 minutes out the door, what do you hear in the back seat? And 3 minutes later, what do you hear? Do you know God hears that all the time from all of us? Am I there yet? And the Lord says, open your eyes. Yes. Would you please start living it? Because the kingdom of God is now. We don't have to wait until eternity. We are living in eternity if Christ is living in you. We are in eternity now. This is a reality that each and every one of us can live when? Now. This is your day. Start to live that new life. Start saying no to sin. Start saying no to temptation. You have the power to do so, and nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can take it away from you. And if somebody tries, leave. You do not have to stay. That's the truth Pastor just gave you. All right? You do not have to stay. If somebody is trying to control you, if somebody is trying to manipulate you, if somebody is trying to beat you down, leave. It's that simple. How do we know that? What happened to Joseph at Potiphar's house? He ran, but the dummy left his coat. So when you take off, take all your junk with you. Don't let anything there. All right? Do you catch the real meaning in that? When you let stuff there, you're still attached. When you leave, leave. It's that simple. And when you leave, Jesus Christ goes with you. Don't ever forget that. He goes with you. Because even when Joseph left and was thrown in jail because he left some of his junk behind, did God leave him? Absolutely not. God was right there with him and for him. Wait a minute, Pastor. That's an Old Testament teaching. Yeah, duh. This isn't new. This is old. This is a truth that's as old as time itself. But we have to reapply it fresh and new each and every day, because this is your day. Remember, what happened to you yesterday doesn't matter anymore. You could live in victory all day yesterday, but if you still live there today, you're living in defeat, because you're not living in this moment. Every moment needs to be accessed unto your heart in Christ Jesus in order to live in it victoriously. You have got to remember that. You must live reconciled to God in this moment. Otherwise, you're going to revert back to sin, because that's what our sin nature that is in us does to us. That's what our world constantly is pushing at us, wanting us to compromise. How many of you have seen this? Am I the only one? Am I this, you know, mass paranoia kind of guy that, you know, I'm just making this stuff up and, man, he's really lost it? There's some people out there on the internet right now saying, yeah, that's you. Cool. You're watching me. I'm not watching you. You must be tuned in for some reason. Something you're hearing is striking a chord. But you see, God's not done. God doesn't stop there with this word. Because we're reconciled doesn't mean it's, you know, hey, that's the end of it. You're reconciled. You're good. Everything's going to be fine. No. God's got more for us. Because he says in verse 19 at the very end, he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We've been reconciled, but what does that reconciliation do? It sets us up to help reconcile others. Now, I hate to say this, but what does our world do to other people? I want you to think on this on the big scale. Doesn't our world try to bring people down, to beat people down, to oppress people? Okay? I want you to think about all the stuff coming out of Washington, D.C. right now. How much of it's positive? I just got some really good looks from people here. I can only imagine what you folks on the internet are thinking. We need to remember, we have a word of hope. Our world wants us to shut down. In fact, the DNC just voted to begin to strike religious liberty in the United States. You do understand that, right? The Democratic National Convention just voted. I just read the article on it. They voted to dismiss religious liberties. They want to do away. If they get the White House, they want to do away with religious liberties. Do you understand that? That means they want to do away with the Constitution of the United States. These people who are sworn to uphold it. That's called treason. And we tolerate it. Do you think if these people who are out there doing this stuff right now lived in George Washington's time, lived in Thomas Jefferson's time, lived back then, do you think they'd still be alive? They'd be hanging just like Benedict Arnold. If you think I'm joking, read your history books. Freedom is not free. It comes with a cost. And in order to keep it, there will always be a cost. And if we're not willing to pay the cost, we're going to lose the freedoms we have. It's the same way spiritually. If you are not willing to pay the price every moment of every day, living victoriously now, you will pay the cost. I don't know about you. I can't pay that. Jesus paid it. So I have to apply that payment every day, of every day, of every day. But God still has more in store. Let's read on. He says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is where we need to understand and remember that for us to be reconciled to God, for us, this all the things that we've read before, in order to be new, and the old gone, we have to remember that we are living as though Christ is living through us, because God has reconciled us to him through Christ. We need to live as Christ. We cannot continue to live in our sin. We must live as this new man. We must believe that truth and live as that new man. That's going to be tough to do. I don't know about you. How tough is that going to be? How many people here can just throw away all their sin just like that? I don't know anybody that could do it. Because we like our sin too much. Can we be honest with each other? But God says work at it a little bit at a time. He understands how it works. He knows who we are. And he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Because he knew it's going to take us time. He knows it's going to take us time. I'm not giving you excuses. I'm giving you the hope and the hand that you need. Pain ends. But you have to apply it. Boy, you need to go check out that sign. Because hope is real. Hope is real. And hope brings freedom. And that freedom is Jesus Christ. For as we are working, it says, and working together in him, from verse chapter 6, and working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You and I, this very first part of it, I want you to look at verse 1 first. It says that we are not to receive the grace of God in vain. Brothers and sisters, what does that mean? That means if we accept the payment of Jesus Christ and we continue to live in our sin, there is no more payment for sin in your lives because you have received the grace of God in vain. That which God has poured out for you to live through it, to get through it, to end this suffering, to end this strife, you are throwing underfoot. We cannot live that way any longer. We cannot allow this world to dictate to us what our faith is going to say. We cannot allow the people who are in power or think they're in power to have power over us when it comes to our religious liberties. We must stand up as peoples and fight against those very realities. What did I just say? Fight against. Yes. That means putting on the full armor of God and praying fervently. And if that means writing letters to your congressman and starting petitions, whatever it may mean, we need to do whatever is needed as the Church of Jesus Christ. It so amazes me. The Church of Jesus Christ has more people in it than any other entity in the United States. You do realize that. But yet we're the most powerless people in the world because we won't do anything together and we won't do anything well. Think about that. If 150 million people, okay, it's estimated that the church is over 150 million strong in a 300, and I think we're at 310 million people in the United States now, or 315 million in the United States now. If 150 million people determined they were going to do something in this country, do you think it would get done? Yes. But we all sit in the pews and we say, you preach it, Pastor. Yeah, boy, did you hear Pastor? He was on fire today. Well, that's wonderful. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to take the grace of God in vain, or are you going to do something with the power that you have? You see, a lot of times, there's a little song that Miss Leslie used to sing to the kids when they were growing up. And every time I think about these things, it just comes to my mind. It comes to my heart. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. You all know that song, don't you? And all of a sudden, from a little spark, from a little ember, what God has placed in your heart, other people come aflame. Oh, man, I got goosebumps. And that's what it takes. It takes you and I realizing the power we live in and not taking the grace of God in vain, but standing in that power and watching as that power spreads, because the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us will come alive and will become a blaze unto the point where it's a forest fire. But not one of destruction, but one of cleansing power, because it will be the fire of the Holy Spirit. But we have to live there. We have to walk there. We have to desire to go there, because the rest of this verse is the most important part of where we are. What does it say in verse 2? For at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now. When? 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 You do realize every time you said that, it was a different time. Because the acceptable time is now. No, it's now. No, it's now. No, it's now. No, it's now. Do you see what I'm getting at? It's now. It's ever forward. It's ever in front of us. It's ever now. It can never end. And we have to apply that truth and that reality to each and every one of our lives, every moment of every day. You live in the day of salvation. When? Now. 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 Not back there. Now. Now, and before you know it, you're walking out the door. You cannot keep up with God and stay where you are. You have got to move forward in Christ Jesus, because the day of salvation is not was. Oh, man. This is your day. You can't stay where you are. You must move forward. Because whether you want to move forward or not, guess what life's going to do? Yeah, it's going to keep right on moving. You can live in the past, and all it's going to do is run you over. Or you can move in the now, in the day of salvation, which is here. The power of God, which is here. You and I have to understand, if we're going to live victoriously, we have to live in the now. That means get rid of the old stuff. Don't worry about this crap that has come at you. Yes, does that mean it may hang on? I'm going to tell you right now, how many of you know that your crap, everybody else's crap, hangs on for quite some time? But if you keep moving, sooner or later, it's going to let go and fall off. Because the world gets tired. Did you ever notice that? Did you ever notice that? You know, I can remember when bell bottoms was the thing. Everybody had to have bell bottoms. And the bigger the bell, the better. We used to have a kid in the school, his name was Eugene. He had these bell bottoms, I swear they were 2 feet at the bottom of his pants. He looked like he was wearing two dresses on his legs. He had to walk funny because he would trip himself with the bell bottoms. They were that big. But everybody thought he had the best bell bottoms in the world. How many of you have ever seen a bell bottom pants if you were born after the age of 1980? Do you get my point? The stuff from the world falls off and falls away. Because it's stupidity. But the things of God are eternal. And they last forever. But we have to apply them fresh and new every moment now. For this is your day. Are you ready to receive it? Are you ready to live in it? Let's pray. Father God, what a day it is. For this is our day. This is the day of salvation, and we claim that truth and that reality in our lives, here and now, that we are going to live victorious from this day forward. Yes, Lord, we know that the things of this world are going to come against us, and we know that we're going to each fall a little bit in different ways, but Lord, we're going to pick ourselves up, and we're going to claim the blood of Christ now, and we're going to move forward to the next now, and the next now, and the next now, and we're going to put one foot in front of the other, and soon we'll be walking out the door, because Lord God, the past does not hold us, the present is our gift, and the future is our hope. and that hope is in Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. And the church says, and amen. God bless you all.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.